a linebacker,
and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a Thursday edition of the program. Let's head out on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a visit with Ryan Burns, Gophers publisher for 24/7 Sports. Ryan, I said this, James and I were talking in the previous segment about the Big Ten West, and it kind of said this in the previous segment. I'm curious your feelings on it. Was any program in this conference hurt more by COVID and everything that surrounded it than Minnesota, considering the momentum that PJ had coming out of the previous season?
I think you can make an argument about it. I mean, I wouldn't fight you one way or another. You look at the momentum they had, you mentioned it, 11 wins in 2019, first time in 100 years for that program. And then COVID happens. There's no one in the seats. They have a lot of turnover, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which is part of the reason they were so horrendous on that side of the ball last year. And they struggled in 2020, 3-4, but they should have been arguably 5-2 if they don't blow a 3-score lead in the fourth quarter against Maryland on the road. They didn't exactly play well down the stretch on the road against Wisconsin in their final game of the year. But I think you can make an argument, and that's where you look at what they have coming back here in 21. They have essentially all their starters coming back except just a few. And so that's where it's going to be interesting to see, can they regain that momentum from 2019 here in 2021?
Yeah, and Ryan, that's honestly, that's what we're trying to figure out with a bunch of teams. I think not only in the Big Ten, but around the nation. One team that comes to mind, too, is Penn State on that front, right, where you're kind of like, do you just kind of skip the COVID year? For Minnesota, what is, I guess, what are the bright spots? What are the areas of concern? And do you think PJ, I guess, what is his the state of the program with him? You know, how's he rowing down the Mississippi, if you will? Give us that progress report.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's going to be year five here for PJ Fleck at Minnesota, and that's where if Minnesota is going to hit that ceiling and potentially become a Big Ten West contender, if not title winner, it's going to be on the offensive side of the ball for them, where they return, I believe, 10 starters on offense, everybody except their star wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, who's expected to be a top 30, top 45 draft pick here in just a couple of weeks. And that's where it starts up front, and especially in the Big Ten West, where you have to go against the power teams and the ones that want to run it down your throat of Iowa and Wisconsin. Well, Minnesota's offensive line, this is going to be my 10th year now covering the team. On paper, it's going to be their best offensive line in my 10 years. They have over 140 starts coming back. They get back a couple of guys who opted out, including the Australian monstrosity that is Daniel Faalele, who is 6'9", 375 pounds. Just a guy that can really move people up front. And you look across their offensive line, like I said, 140 starts coming back. They have a couple of guys who are taking advantage of that extra year of eligibility at left tackle and left guard. And so it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue to complement their Big Ten running back of the year, Muhammad Ibrahim, who had an ungodly season last year, was incredibly productive in Minnesota's zone running scheme. So the question becomes for that offense, Tanner Morgan, their quarterback in 2019, was incredibly efficient. And that's where you saw Minnesota change offensive coordinators from 2019 to 2020 as Kirk Ciarrocca went to Penn State. Didn't work out for Ciarrocca as he was let go after one season there with James Franklin. But Mike Stanford had to come in, and I think, James, you would know about this. He gets three spring practices, and then that's it. He gets, and that's where he had to kind of learn on the fly what everybody could do. He gets an abbreviated fall camp, 3 weeks to figure out his personnel, and Minnesota's offense didn't hum as well as it did. So now, in theory, he gets an entire spring ball, all 15 practices, an entire normal summertime and into fall camp to kind of figure out. He's had 7 games with them. That's what Minnesota was able to play last year because of COVID. And so can that offense get going? Because the defense last year, I mentioned it, they were horrible. I mean, there was a lot of turnover on that defensive side of the ball. For Minnesota, I think they had 3 or 4 draft picks in that 2020 NFL draft, which is a lot for the Gophers, and that's where it's going to be. I mean, they were horrible against the run. By far and away the worst in the Big Ten. I think they averaged over 6.5 yards per carry against them. Their defensive line wasn't physical enough. Their linebackers had struggled immensely getting off blocks, and their secondary wasn't physical enough. And they didn't take the correct angles, and that it's just every level of that defense. So I think Minnesota certainly does have a ceiling here because anytime you can score, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, considering Ohio State's offense and how prolific they are, you know, if Minnesota can get back to their 2019 ways where they're averaging 28, 31 points a game, especially here in the West when you got to go against very good defenses of Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin, you're going to be in a lot of football games. But to me, for Minnesota to really reach that ceiling, it comes down to how much can Minnesota improve on the defensive side of the ball.
Ryan, great. That was an incredible job of laying that out for us in terms of the view of it from the Minnesota perspective. When you take the view around the Big Ten West, and I think there are programs that are at major crossroads in terms of Nebraska, certainly. You think about what's going on at Purdue, Illinois starting in with Bielema now, getting him a go of it. You think about what Pat's done at Northwestern, so consistent. Is there internal pressure on PJ to take that step? To represent the West? Is there feeling around now's the time to do it? You've had it. You've recruited it. You went through everybody who's coming back. It's done. If there's a time to do it, Wisconsin Mertz just in year two for him. Is this Minnesota's year from internally in terms of time to go do it?
It needs to be. And I think there is a lot of internal pressure, especially when you look at Minnesota's rivals. They like to consider Iowa and Wisconsin their rivals. They're 1-7 in PJ's first 4 years against them. That can't continue to happen. They've been right there with Iowa. They've been right there with Wisconsin. They just haven't gotten over the hump. You look at that 2019 season, they need to beat Wisconsin at home to win the West, and they come out and they get punched in the face and they lose pretty handily. You look at last year, Iowa comes in, absolutely destroys them at home. It's got to be somewhere, I mean, it's just where Kirk Ferentz specifically has had PJ Fleck's number, and that's where they really need to get over the hump this year, because Iowa, to me, you know, they're very good defensively like they always are, but the quarterback isn't really anything special to me. They lose a couple of guys up front, and you can come at me with saying, well, Iowa just continues to produce, you know, top 100 offensive line picks every year, but it doesn't appear that this might not be the year that they're going to do so on their offensive line. But as you said, across the West, there's a lot of question marks. And then you come back to Minnesota here, as I mentioned, they're essentially returning 21 starters from a team in 2020 that went 3-4, arguably should have been 4-3, potentially 5-2. And that's where they need to get over the hump. Now, Ohio State to kick off the season for Minnesota at home. I can tell you that Minnesota's corners going against those Ohio State wide receivers, it ain't going to be a great matchup for Minnesota. And that's where I'm going to be very curious to see what they do. But, I mean, you mentioned Nebraska hasn't been really much for Minnesota at all in terms of Minnesota has really – done well against them. Minnesota beat Nebraska last year down 25, 30 players that weren't playing because of the COVID protocols. You look at, as you mentioned, Illinois, I think Bielema is going to potentially be able to turn that around. But you look at year one Big Ten football coaches' records, not great. Purdue hasn't been able to get over the hump against Minnesota. And so that's where, like it has the last couple of seasons here, it's going to come down to how does Minnesota finish the season in November. Their final three games of the year are going to dictate a lot. They're on the road in Kinnick Stadium at Iowa. Then they have to go to Memorial Stadium against an Indiana team that was obviously very good last year, and then they finish with Wisconsin. So they're going to have to put themselves in a position to be 6-2, you know, somewhere around there going into those final games. But there is a lot of pressure here. It's year five. It's all your guys now. He brought in some transfers here in the offseason, so we're going to see how it all plays out.
Ryan, who wins the West in your mind? Who do you think gets it done?
To me, now it's going to be interesting to see, because I do think it's four teams that are going to be competing here, Northwestern, Iowa, Wisconsin. And I think, again, if Minnesota shakes things out and figures things out defensively with the way that they're going to be, I think, prolific on offense, it's going to be interesting. It's tough for me to bet against Pat Fitzgerald, considering it's been really, really hot or really cold the last 3 years. Wins the West, goes 2-10, wins it again. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, because they have a lot of turnover there in Northwest, not just with their players, but with personnel as well. And they lost a couple. I believe they lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators. You mentioned Wisconsin. Graham Mertz comes out on fire. And then in the final game against Minnesota, he essentially gets benched. Now, there was, an injury concern there, but he wasn't playing particularly well in that game. And then can Iowa continue to be the model of consistency and win 7-8 games, potentially have a spiked year of 9-10? I think they have their offensive skill position guys outside of Amir Smith-Marset to do so, and they have always been very consistent on defense. But if I had to choose one today, I'd probably pick Wisconsin just because – it's been really tough to bet against what Wisconsin can do especially as it gets going. Now, I know that they haven't found their next NFL running back quite yet, and that was part of their problem last year, and their offensive line wasn't what it used to be. But, I mean, I can't pick Minnesota until, as I mentioned, they get over the hump against their two rivals. They're 1-7 against Iowa and Wisconsin, and PJ Fleck's tenure here, and that needs to change if Minnesota's going to become a realistic contender in the West.
Ryan, this was great, man. Appreciate your perspective.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, that's Ryan Burns, Gophers publisher for 24/7 Sports. Knows the West very, very well. Very comprehensive on that front.